morning starts anew, and with a shiny dew, everything's covered. The sunny sky is clear, the darkness is not here, the new day is coming.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Salty Canadian Podcast. All links can be found in the show notes. If you'd like to donate, please click the Shop Now button on my Facebook page, and it will take you to my PayPal. For those who don't have Facebook, you can go to the link www.paypal.me/saltycanadian. This week I am joined by a couple guests who will be reading a couple articles for me as I have a bit of a cold, and will try my best with the rest of the episode. So we will first start off with Adam's article entitled "Vanishing UFOs Spotted Over Ontario. Is this proof of UFOs coming from or going to another dimension?"
UFOs are reported across the globe on a daily basis, and it's often the same thing. A circular object shines brilliantly in the sky, and then instantly it disappears. Of course, if an advanced civilization in a far-off galaxy had the technology to cross the far reaches of space, we might assume the pilots of those spacecraft could also have a cloaking device, or hyperspace afterburners, like you might see in your favorite science fiction movie. They might even have the ability to slip in and out of other dimensions or realities. A sighting last month in Ontario, Canada, posted to YouTube, delivers viewers eyes and lives up to every expectation of a close encounter, except in one respect, it probably isn't real. We generally didn't comment on anonymous UFO reports posted on social media. However, this one seems to illustrate an important point, and you might keep this in mind the next time you think you see an ET's spacecraft. The eyewitnesses, known only from this V4 Victor YouTube channel, claims that he saw through his bedroom window three bright objects in the sky hovering beside each other in a strange formation. V4V decided to videotape the objects after they began to blink randomly, disappear and reappear in the same spot. The following 13-second video shows some of this activity. The incident is under investigation by MUFON, an international UFO research organization that collects UFO reports and attempts to come up with credible explanation for those sightings. MUFON is not related to any academic organization, nor are there internally trained investigators required to have advanced degrees in science. The first problem with this submission, of course, is that we don't know the identity of the eyewitnesses. MUFON claims it withholds its submitter's personal information to save that person the negative attention that might come from claiming to see a UFO. That's understandable. Nobody wants to be dismissed as a kook. Still, that means we know nothing about this person's credibility, mental health, or sobriety at the time of the incident. He or she might simply be a prankster. In this particular case, HuffPost reached out for more information to V4V, who didn't respond to our request. The YouTube posting does provide some background, at least. "I have no idea how high and how far away the UFOs were," V4V says. "They looked very large. I did not hear strange noises of any aircraft engines. The color of the UFOs was a yellow-orange, almost like car lights." But we don't know exactly when the incident took place, because the witness post contains conflicting information, and there are no corroborating witnesses. His written report begins with, "filmed with an iPad 2 on February 19th, 2016. Yet just below that, where the incident description actually unfolds, it says on February 21st, 2016, at around 5:50 p.m., I witnessed three UFOs hovering outside. So did this take place on February 19th or February 21st? A Holland-based YouTube channel, Finding UFO, presents information, news, and videos about dubious UFOs submitted by people from around the world. The channel added some visual enhancements to the Canada video in the following attempt to better clarify the UFOs in this story. Some of the comments on the YouTube pages of the original report support the eyewitness's testimony of capturing something very unusual in the sky. Others weren't so kind, suggesting the UFOs were simply window-reflected lights. HuffPost showed the video on written report to Mark D'Antonio, a video and image specialist of FX models, who used advanced software tools in his photo analysis work. "Interesting video," D'Antonio emailed HuffPost. "However, I noticed something peculiar when the objects vanish in the sky. I say sky that way because, in my opinion, they were very likely not in the sky at all. I could see at one point in the video the edge of a window. I believe we are seeing lights reflected in a window, and the winking out is just the lights becoming blocked in the room, and thus no longer reflecting in the window. The right-hand light goes out top to bottom. It's like someone slid a piece of paper or cardboard down in front of the lights, one by one. In my opinion, we are looking through a window and viewing light reflections that were extinguished manually, one by one. We're not saying this is what V4V did, we're just keeping the dialogue open." The link for this story will be posted in the show notes for the photos and video.
So here's my two cents. Maybe this just looks like two lights reflecting off a window and somebody shutting them off. There's absolutely no movement whatsoever of these objects other than going out. Now here's Jesse with the second article.
UK girl, 5, fined by local council for selling lemonade. London. A British man and his young daughter have gained international attention for being fined for selling lemonade. Andre Spicer said his 5-year-old daughter was left in tears after local council officers fined her £150, that's $195 American dollars, for selling lemonade without a license near their home in London. The girl was selling homemade lemonade to fans attending the Love Box Dance Festival when she was fined. The 4 officers approached the girl and began speaking in technical legal terms, telling her that her lemonade stand infringed on local business rights. Halfway through the interaction with the officers, Spicer said his daughter burst into tears and said, quote, "I've done a bad thing, Daddy. I've done something wrong. I think initially she was a bit shocked and sad," Spicer said, "and then I suggested we try it again with a permit. And she said, oh, it's a bit scary." He hopes that his daughter will overcome the, quote, "heart-wrenching experience" and continue to pursue entrepreneurial ideas. Spicer wrote an article about the incident for the Daily Telegraph that garnered hundreds of comments and shares online. Local officials said the fine will be canceled immediately. They have apologized to the family. In a statement Friday, the council said it was, quote, "very sorry about what happened and that its law enforcement officers are expected to, quote, show common sense and to use their power sensibly. This clearly did not happen." A link to this article will be in the show notes.
My two cents. Me, this poor 5-year-old little girl had her little heart broken by these officers, and is now probably scared to do this again. She thinks that she had done something wrong, and in my opinion, she hasn't. If this was my daughter, I'd be raising all sorts of hell. They want kids to be outside and doing stuff instead of held up in the house playing video games. This isn't the way to do it. It's just bloody lemonade. Now for my podcast reviews. Number one, stat. This podcast is hosted by Karen, a retired ER nurse out of Ontario, Canada. She shares stories of strange medicine with a variety from true crime, coroner's cases, medical mysteries, to treatments from around the world, and more. She also shares real-life stories from the emergency room. Such a great fellow Canadian to listen to. She has made me laugh many times with her surgery room stories. It is greatly researched. Keep up with the amazing work, Karen. The link to her podcast will be in the show notes. Number 2, Canadian True Crime. Another great Canadian podcast. Christy is an Australian true crime fan who has lived in the Greater Toronto area for years and is a proud Canadian citizen. This podcast tells Canadian stories of cruel people who committed heinous acts and honors the victims no longer with us. This podcast is very well researched and makes you feel for the victims of these crimes. Keep up the great work, Christy. The link to her podcast will be in the show notes. Number 3, True Crime Sisters. This podcast is two sisters who discuss true crime stories from Australia and New Zealand. It is another very well-researched true crime podcast. I love the laughter between the girls and absolutely love their accent. Keep up the good work, girls. The link to this podcast will also be in the show notes. Well, this is a short podcast this week, but a special thanks to Adam, host of Everyone Has a Podcast, and Jesse, host of Devil's Teeth and co-host of Podcast 1289, for helping me out this week with reading some articles. I'll definitely be checking you guys out. I will provide links to their podcasts in the description along with blurbs about the podcasts. Can be found on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Pocket Casts, and YouTube. Reviews can be left in iTunes and on my Facebook page, The Salty Canadian. I also have a Facebook group, The Salty Canadian Podcast Rant Room, and on Twitter, at SaltyCanadian17. Requests can be sent to TheSaltyCanadian2017@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining me in episode 2. Stay tuned for a mini rant episode in episode 3. Have a great day, eh? Morning starts anew, and with a shiny dew, everything's sky. Sunny sky is clear, the darkness is not here, the new day is coming.